They're calling him the Donald Trump of the Philippines. The presumptive president-elect Rodrigo Duterte, who won votes this week after campaigning as a crime-busting leader, who will be, in his words, a dictator against evil. Now Filipinos and governments around the world are waiting to see how the 71-year-old mayor will actually govern the Philippines. Joining us now is Richard Heydarian, a professor of political science at De La Salle University. He's with us from Manila on Skype. Professor, welcome. And what does it mean to you that Rodrigo Duterte is going to be the new president of the Philippines?
Well, it means a lot, but I think we should not exaggerate or generalize. Remember, Duterte is going to be the next president because he just got more votes than the other candidates. But he didn't win the majority of the votes. He just won 38%. So that's just a large plurality, but not a majority. But a significant plurality of Filipinos believe that it's time for change. And Rodrigo Duterte, in their eyes, was the only authentic candidate that could bring about change in the Philippines. And they think that his experience in Davao, where he turned Davao, a wild, wild west country, into the so-called Singapore of the Philippines, one of the safest and most business-friendly places in the Philippines, is an indication that as a president, he will be able to also turn around the Philippines' fortune and make it a stable, safe, and a business-friendly country the way that it has not been for the last three decades since the downfall of the Marcos dictatorship.
But there are also concerns about how he did that, how he turned that area around, about his connections to death squads, which targeted and killed criminals, about whether he is going to return the Philippines to authoritarian rule.
That's definitely a legitimate concern. But remember, elections is a game of perceptions, right? And, you know, I think through a very effective social media blitzkrieg, the Duterte camp was able to really portray Davao as an exhibit A of a successful city. And they were able to downplay this criticism of potential human rights violation. But I think we also have to be honest. I think in the Philippines, many people are suffering from what you can call as democracy fatigue. You know, a lot of people no longer hold values like civil liberties or human rights as sacrosanct. So some people who support Duterte perhaps will tell you that, yeah, there may have been human rights violation, but what's important is the collective interest of the society. And if that means that we have to trample upon certain basic democratic principles, then why not? At least we get the result. And the result is you have a business-friendly and safe place.
I have to say, when you say democracy fatigue, there are going to be a lot of listeners who hear you say that and are just appalled by that idea, scared by it.
Right. Well, I think let's be very honest about it. I think what we have in the Philippines is not really democracy fatigue per se, but more of an oligarchy fatigue. I mean, if you look at the Philippines, yes, it has civil liberties, it has media freedom, but it's a country that is actually an oligarchy pretending to be or disguised as a liberal democracy. And people are getting sick and tired of this kind of oligarchic, cacique democracy that we have. So now they feel that it's time for change. And if that means bringing back new authoritarian characters or strongman characters, then so be it. Because we are just sick and tired of this kind of fake, non-genuine democracy that we have in the Philippines. It has not delivered on the promise of prosperity, rule of law, and peace in the country.
What do you think that this means for the Philippines within the region, and specifically vis-a-vis China?
With respect to foreign policy, I think Duterte is going to introduce some significant changes. If you look at the Philippines in the past 5 years, it has adopted what we political scientists call counterbalancing strategy. So in light of the disputes in the South China Sea, the current Aquino administration actually has sided with the United States and Japan and pushing back against against China through stronger military ties, through legal arbitration cases, through strong rhetoric. On two occasions, President Aquino, the outgoing president, likened China to Nazi Germany. I think with Duterte, we're going to see some changes. While Duterte, I'm sure, in the United States is known like a Donald Trump, someone is a loose cannon, makes abhorrent jokes. In fairness to him, when it comes to foreign policy, aside from his braggadocio that he's going to take jet ski and go to the islands that are disputed and plant flags, if you scratch below the surface, he's actually extremely pragmatic. He has consistently, throughout different interviews, including in interviews with Chinese news channels, he said that what I want from China is to help my country to develop. So in short, he wants development as the center of Philippine-China relations rather than deterrence and confrontation. So instead of the Philippines siding with the U.S. against China, you may have a Philippines that has balanced relations with both the United States and also with China. But I think because of the ferocity of the disputes in the South China Sea, it will be very difficult for Duterte to make the Philippines a Chinese ally. And the Filipino security establishment, the Filipino media is very much pro-American. So I think Duterte will try to be careful to have this balanced relationship with both United States and China, and not necessarily side with one against the other.
Did he really say he was going to jet ski to the islands and plant flags?
Yes, he has those kind of, you know, bravado, braggadocio statements. But, you know, he also has this kind of Machiavellian genius with him. I mean, he has a 100% track record in politics in the sense that I think he never lost a single election in his life. And now he has just won the presidency.
Yeah.
So you won't be that successful in politics, especially in a country like the Philippines, unless you have some Machiavellian genius.
That's Richard Heydarian, a political science professor at De La Salle University in Manila in the Philippines. Richard, thanks.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now.